Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network coming to you live and in color, lots of color, every Sunday from 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Your host tonight, Jill Van Leesen. Henrietta Bird is out there from Chi-Town. And Jill is coming out of ATL, and my name is Glenn Greenwich, and I'm coming out of New York City, the borough of Queens. So tonight's topic, we're going to talk about gardening, and we're going to talk about different aspects of gardening and organic gardening and containers versus ground and all the good stuff. So anyway, before we get started in that conversation, Jill, would you bring us home with the declaration?
Okay, thank you so much, Glenn. The Declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991. Atlanta, Georgia, April
15th.
April 15th, 2012. North, south, east, west, above, below, and within. A moment of silence, please. Thank you. Back to you, Glenn.
Thanks, Jill. So the purpose of the International Black Summit is to provide an opportunity for participants to bring into being their vision for the Black community and the world. And so it's inside that conversation tonight that we're going to engage in a conversation of urban gardening, healthy eating. There are going to be probably quite a few array of topics that are going to come up. But what we're going to be focusing on is on growing your own gardens and being able to supplement or sustain a healthy living, healthy eating that has come from your hands, the power of your hands. The International Black Summit is a conversation that is being given by LIFE to the world through people of Black African descent. So the conversations that we'll have tonight are... we invite you to listen to those conversations so that you may be empowered around your life and about your activity that is consistent with your vision, your goals, and what you see for yourself, your family, your community. So with that, I'm going to start out the conversation. I know I've got a couple of hands up already, and I know one is a master gardener. I imagine there's going to be a couple other master gardeners coming on. I am not a master gardener, but I have inherited my garden from my mother, and who's now 85. So she has allowed me to take control of the garden probably in the last 15 or so years. So I grew up watching her and mimicking her. The first conversation I want to open up is the design and layout of your garden. So when you're looking at having a garden, one of the first things to think about or look at is what space do you have and how are you going to use the space? And one of the first conversations that you will probably confront is, do you have enough ground to do what you want to do? Do you have, if you don't have any ground, then it's kind of simple. You begin to look at containers and what kind of containers and so on and so forth. So I'm going to start the conversation there. Haven't even talked about what it is that you actually want to grow. So that's the other thing when you are looking at designing a garden for yourself. You want to look at what you've got layout-wise, and then you want to think about what you want to grow and how you're going to manage the space to do that. So I know I've got... Let's start off with 773-230. You're live on the air. 773-837. You're also live on the air.
Good evening.
404-752.
And 404-752. You're also on the air. So with that conversation, when you're looking at designing a garden, What do you think are the most important things for you to consider as you're looking at ground versus container and what you're looking to grow for your garden? So 773-230, let you start off the conversation for us.
Okay, good evening, everyone. I think the most important thing to look at in beginning any gardening project is not only what you like to eat and possibly share with friends and family, but how much time you have in the care and maintenance, which often determines whether you decide on container gardens or raised bed gardening, square foot gardening. It depends on what technique you actually have the time. And sometimes there may be physical challenges that you have in order to maintain what you start. So I think initially looking at what you like to eat, because it doesn't make sense to grow things that you're not actually going to use.
Absolutely. Very good.
So if you're doing this from the standpoint of being able to supplement your family's food or feed your family, then you definitely want to choose items. If you like tomatoes and you do a lot of salads, then you may look at a variety of your tomatoes and your lettuce greens and perhaps some onions and any other things that you like in your salads. And I think starting out with what you have a taste for and the things that you are used to eating is a great way to start, because you have a vested interest in seeing it succeed.
Absolutely. Very good. Thank you so much. That's a great comment. Go ahead.
So this is Cindy in Chicago. I wanted to add to that. I think one of the things that we want to think about, in addition to the types of foods that we want to eat, but survey your spaces. And oftentimes we think, well, if we don't have a yard, we can't do a garden, or if we don't have a patio, we can't do a garden. But realistically, any flat surface that you have that has access to light is a potential space to garden. So that could be a windowsill, it could be a patio, a porch, a sun porch, it could be a roof, it could be a deck, you know. There are so many places that you can set a planter or set a pot or have even up the wall, have plants growing up the wall or on the fence or hanging. That's another opportunity to have hanging plants and hanging plotters. So if you are interested in growing, I guarantee you can find space to do it. It's simply a matter of surveying and opening up your eyes and thinking about what's available, what's the surface, or where can I hang a plant.
And I think I took the perspective, this is Jamar in Atlanta, I think I took the perspective of, you know, what will be fun, and, you know, just like we said earlier, what could I share with my neighbors, with my friends? You know, I have people coming over. I looked at what I eat. You know, I'm a single guy. I make sandwiches, you know, so I have tomatoes, and, you know, I make pizzas, so, you know, got some basil back there. And it started out as a conversation that maybe I should just do something fun like a pizza garden, you know, because I get those from Publix and I make pizzas. But, yeah, definitely, you know, mine came out of, you know, what would be fun and what could I share with people?
Very good, very good. You know, along that those lines, also, if you are a cook, you might want to look at herbs that you use often. There's nothing like using fresh rosemary or sage or thyme or oregano from your garden, or even garlic. So there are things that you certainly can grow to enhance your cooking and expand your cooking sense. Very good. Thank you. Thank you. What about potting soil versus garden soil? If you, let's say, for example, you're doing a garden, you guys do a pH test of your garden, and what do you what do you use as a barometer in terms of what the garden may need in terms of soil?
Well, I'm going to be the first to admit that I am still a novice gardener, and I know that I probably should test my soil. But I've been in my containers. I've been using commercial container growing mixes. In the garden beds last year, we did a lasagna garden technique where we did layers of browns and greens and allowed compost and straw to build our soil base that way. So in that sense, we were building fresh soil to grow in. And this year we're also going to experiment and do some hydroponic growing, and that will require us to do pH testing then for the liquid nutrient solutions that we have to feed the plants with.
Now hydroponic is more of a water-based system than soil, understand correctly.
Hydroponics is soil-less, so that means you're not growing in soil. You're using the water with nutrients in it to feed the plant, and you can use cocoa pellets or hydropon pellets are another one, or just basically pretty much any soilless medium to hold the roots, and you're just watering them and constantly feeding them, and typically they grow faster, and it's going to be in a controlled and setting. Generally, that's an indoor growing technique. So for someone who is in an apartment or a condo, may not have a yard or a patio, that's an excellent way to still get in on the growing, still be able to grow vegetables. You can do it in a variety of different configurations, in the window or on the floor, in a closet. It's another great option.
Now what kind of cost are we talking about? Because it sounds like it might be a little bit more expensive than the traditional soilage and growing.
Not necessarily. It depends on how big a system you want and what you want to grow. But, for example, you could do a lettuce system with just a rubber tub, you know, that you buy at Target or any place.
Mm-hmm.
You get one of those.
Sure.
You get a piece of foam board. You cut some holes in it. There's some little pots or cups that you'll put your plants in across there, and a pump that'll cost you maybe about $10-$12 at the most to keep that water circulating, and then it's simply a matter of your water and your nutrients. And so cost-wise, no, it's not going to be any more expensive, but it's something that you could put in the basement or in near a window where it's light or on the back porch and still have a garden. growing.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. And the float, the styrofoam is just to keep the plants afloat, pretty much, and then so that the root is okay.
That's exactly what it is. It's just a float.
Yeah, excellent, excellent, excellent. For your listeners out there, listen, you've got a couple of options here, so you want to really take advantage of that that technique, and that's a newer technique that's been around maybe the last 10 years or so. Or is it older than that?
Well, it's been around for a while. I think it's becoming more commonplace and as a solution in urban agriculture. You're starting to see more commercially available foods that are grown in that system because you can grow indoors. You can grow 365 days of the year, and you have the ability to control the environment and have a better crop yield. More predictable, so it has some advantages. You have you can control pests easier, those kinds of things. So you get to eliminate some of the travel costs when you apply to urban agriculture because now you can grow right here in the city, in the neighborhood, in your home, and not be hampered by the conditions of the weather.
Very good. Awesome. 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 Great. What about Miracle-Gro versus manure? Where are you guys at around that conversation?
I got four different types. Well, down here in Georgia, we have Georgia red clay, and yeah. I didn't test my soil. I just did some reading on it, and I know it has, you know, a natural moisture to it, but it's very, very dense.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I had to dig that up. And I do have some Miracle-Gro soil in my garden. Also, that's the peat moss. I also have some mushroom soil. Besides the Georgia red clay, there's three different types of soils back there in my garden right now. And one of them is Miracle-Gro. And I just started my garden last week. We planted on Good Friday.
Okay.
To my surprise, when I went on Friday morning, everything, all the seeds have, you know, started to sprout, and you know, and the plants I got out of the nursery have taken to the soil really well. So you know, everything is, you know, back there and thriving and growing. But all my neighbors told me that, you know, we got good dirt down here. You know, but I did mix some stuff in with it.
Good. Okay. Okay. Here in New York, our growing season is a little shorter than you guys down south, for sure. Probably similar, closer to the Chicago in terms of growing growing times. And do you guys prefer the seeds, start from the seeds, or do you buy plants? How do you guys?
We generally start our seedlings indoors under a plant light.
Okay.
And that enables them to be sheltered from the weather, because as you know, as you expressed here in Chicago, we have different challenges than in Georgia or a little bit further south. And even though the weather has been relatively warm here, we can still have a cold snap anywhere up to mid-May generally. So we start our seedlings inside in trays under a plant light. We give them put it on a timer so that it turns on and off at a certain time, and they get an equal amount of light per day. And once they get to a certain point, then we will transplant them into the ground for the rest of the growing season. But generally speaking, because of that last frost line that we have to contend with, we start our seedlings indoors. If I'm doing flowers, then I generally like to do flowers that you would get from, you know, your Home Depot, Menards, that kind of thing, or those kinds of places, because it's just easier with flowers. to transplant them, or for me it is.
Okay. Great, great. One of the techniques that my mom showed me was we actually have, you know, the fridge bottom storage drawers. So what we do is we have the old fashioned ones, which are more like a dark plastic, and what I've done is put that outside in the yard, put some seeds in that, and cover that in plastic, and created a little semi greenhouse effect. So that what happens is that the because of the plastic, it keeps the moisture inside, and the heat from the sun keeps putting it in. Heat from the sun keeps recycling the water internally. So that's another way to do it outside, but still protect the young plants and seedlings and so forth. So that's another way to do it. One of the things that, again, as you both have alluded to, is that if you're going to do seedlings, it's really important that you do that early and get it going. And so, that's an important aspect of it. Somebody's got a lot of motion in the background, or they're moving their phone or something. Yeah. So if you could kind of hold that down a little bit. I was gonna
chime in on the seeds. I got like
sure.
Two-thirds of my garden. I got plants out of the nursery. My friend Gabby, who should be on the call. The seeds that I did get, they're easy seeds. I got arugula seeds. I got basil seeds. I got my peas are seeds. My carrots are seeds. But everything else, I got small plants for it. You know, she was like, you don't want a whole garden with seeds. Even though, like, down here in Georgia, we have warmer weather. It's like, you know, you want to, you know, get some things that's already, you know, kind of established. But, you know, my seeds, the sunflowers are seeds too. All that stuff started sprouting within the week. So they were like, you know, like she said, they were easy seeds. You know, it wasn't something that is going to take like 4 to 6 weeks for them to start sprouting.
So you have to consider what the growing season of that and how
easily
it sprouts when you're considering laying out your garden. So that's very, very good, very good.
Yeah. Like my tomato, I bought the tomato plants, the strawberries, the jalapenos, the sweet potatoes, the mint, the cucumbers. All those are small plants I got out of the nursery.
Okay.
And also, too, I mean, we had to mound the dirt a little bit special for those plants as well. You just couldn't just throw those in the ground, you know. So it was a method to the madness when we did the planting.
Yeah, I found that the peppers and some of the acorn squash tend to do better on top of the ground rather than actually being buried, which I thought was kind of surprising.
Yeah.
You know, so it does matter, and certainly do your research if you're going to be using the seeds to grow. I've found it pretty effective to use the plants in New York for the shorter season that we have. However, I've been very lucky with tomato plants, and what I've been doing is if you ever have a tomato that's gone bad, rather than throw it away, throw it in your garden. And you throw it in the garden in the springtime, and what happens is when the weather gets hot enough, you'll notice that the seeds will start to bear. And I think the last 2 years, I actually didn't even buy tomato plants, but ended up having about about 20 or 30 plants that actually came up and bared by the end of the by the end of the summer. Let me ask this question: Do you guys get the organic seeds or organic plants?
Go ahead, Cindy.
I was going to say we have some of both. My biggest concern is to try to make sure that we stay away from genetically modified seeds. So we're more concerned about that than anything. Yes, we've used both heirloom seeds that we order from places like Seed Saver, the catalogs, and we've used seeds out of the nursery that you buy here locally. I think for us the bigger issue is making sure on the growing side of it that we're growing in good, clean mediums that without pesticides and without chemicals. And that's been more of a concern for me than specifically the seed itself, whether it's classified as organic.
Yeah, there's an organization here in New York that actually provides organic seeds, which I thought was kind of interesting. And so there are more and more organizations that are looking to do that and looking to support the urban gardeners. So folks out there, if you're, you know, whatever city that you happen to be in, take a look around on the internet. There are local organizations that are that want to promote organic seeds and provide organic seeds to individuals and to groups as well. So you may be able to get on that bandwagon because you're so right. The engineered seeds are, in my opinion, are very dangerous. I was reading the other, I think it was last year, I read something that there was a seed produced by, and I'm going to go ahead and say the company, but we don't have any repercussions.
It was probably Monsanto.
Well, there was actually GE. GE actually had some seeds that the fifth generation no longer produced any seeds.
And that's the serious part about the genetically modified seeds. There's no history, so no one really knows how they're going to react. So not only do they have the potential to wipe out the natural seeds, they also have the potential to stop producing themselves and to leave us without seed of any kind, of any species. So it can be a very dangerous thing to the planet, what they're playing with right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
And the part about it, I think, that it's not like there's any shortage of species of food and varieties for us to use. The issue is one of controlling the food so that you can control the human population in a slave sense by controlling their food so that they cannot reproduce their own food. They have to buy their seed from this company. It's a profit motive. It's not even to say that we're doing something better to the food or we're solving some problem that we have with the food. There is no problem. There are plenty of naturally occurring species, and generations and generations have used breeding techniques, but it's a very different thing than what they're using now to create these GMO seeds. So I agree with you, it's dangerous.
Very dangerous, yes, absolutely, absolutely. We're going to take just a short station break. This is an International Black Summit Talk Show Network. We're coming to you live via the Blog Talk Radio. We've got some folks in the chat room. If you'd like to come in and ask us some questions, please do. The number is 646-716-9827. And we're here every Sunday from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard. We have an annual event that's occurring in Birmingham, Alabama this year, so we're going back to the source of the civil rights movement, and we are looking forward to having that conversation of empowerment. We will be there in August. Let's see what the date is. The date is going to be August 2nd to August 5th in Birmingham, Alabama. So we're going to Bama, y'all. Hey! We're going to be having some things happening. We're going to be going to see some of the museums down there in terms of what is, you know, what our history is. You know, it's interesting that the conversation that we're in with a black president and all of what he's going through and his possible reelection. So, you know, we'll be taking a look at that. One of the things I want to let you know is that at the International Black Summit, we are constantly looking at what we can create and what we can do for ourselves moving forward. And so what we have are usually inquiry or declaration. The inquiry for 2011 to 2020 is, what is possible in life when I be with what is? What is the gift? So that's the conversation that we're engaged in, and tonight we're engaged in the conversation of healthy eating, healthy living that's supported by through the eating healthy, and we're looking at what you can do with your garden. By the way, one of the things that we haven't talked about, and we'll talk about a little later, but the garden, not only does the garden provide you food, but it also can be very nurturing and very healing and very relaxing to spend time out in your garden. But we're going to get to that after we get some more information about taking care of our garden. So the next question up is, if you have a garden, what are the kinds of things that you want to do to keep making it better or to improve the garden? Improving the soil. You know, we talked a little bit about fertilizer. Let's talk about some of the things that if you have an existing garden or an existing container that you used from last year, what are the kinds of things that you can do to enhance your garden for this year? Who'd like to get us started with that?
I'll get us started with that. I think one of the things that makes a dramatic difference is composting. And I know that in an urban setting or if you're in a small apartment and you don't have a lot of space, most people think that it's almost impossible to compost, but you can have outdoor compost in your backyard. And, you know, I'm on a typical Chicago city lot. So we don't have a lot of space, but there's enough to do, you know, to do that. And they have countertop composting bins that are not that large, but also will also aid in feeding your houseplants if you have, you know, flowers or any container vegetables that you have. But I have noticed the difference as I've progressed through my particular gardening project, and I started out in containers, and we didn't have a lot of space, and then I was able to add the compost. There is a difference with the amount of nutrients that the plants are receiving. And composting is really it's a matter of getting yourself in the habit of not throwing everything in the trash. We have a lot of food waste that we don't even realize can be repurposed, so to speak, and used to feed or to continue to feed us.
Absolutely.
So I think as anyone is moving through their gardening project, I think composting will help. It'll help on not having to use so many chemicals. It's a natural kind of fertilizer, and, of course, there are certain items that you cannot put in your compost, but there are more items that come from your kitchen as food scraps that you can. If you have a yard, you can also utilize your any leaves that fall and cut grass, because everybody's got to do their yard at some point. So yeah, a combination of these things can be, as I mentioned, repurposed to go into your garden beds or your containers, but it will help in having to, number one, purchase so much material to go in your containers to grow in, and it will also aid in feeding your plants.
Very good. Very good. Thank you. Anybody else want to comment?
I was going to start my – when I looked into composting, I was told that I should have started months ago. So I guess, you know, I'm going to start composting. It'll be for next year. So, you know, we go and, you know, restart the garden up in the spring. But it's sort of a challenge for me. This may be TMI. I'm a single man. I do cook, but I don't do a lot of cooking at home. I just took my trash out, and it was just share bottles in there and, like, pizza boxes. So it's going to be sort of a challenge for me to do that. So I just have to be more cognizant of doing that and, you know, getting things and not throwing away the scraps and my leftovers and all that stuff. So,
okay. Well, may I suggest that you can also use your pizza boxes?
Yeah, I was told that. I have to get in the habit. I got a quarter of an acre of land in my back, and I got a nice corner. As long as the stray dogs and alley cats don't attack it, I got a nice spot where I can start composting. It's just me getting in the habit of doing that. So I have to be a better steward to that. But I did look into it. I'm like, hey, what about composting? You know, so this. I'm like, hey, you don't have anything right now to compost, so, you know,
and I don't cut
my own grass just because I'm allergic to grass and I can't cut it, so.
Okay. Now, it did take, because I've got some nice, rich, black compost now, but it has taken about a year and a half to 2 years to get it to that point.
Yeah.
Of regularly adding to it and regularly turning it so that it continues to break down.
Mm-hmm.
So it is time consuming to get it started, but if it is a consideration, it does help.
You also have the option of vermicomposting, which is a faster process. That's typically going to be something that you're going to do indoors, because you're dealing with worms, the little red wigglers, and so you can't have them be outside where it's going to be too hot or too cold. They need a relatively constant moderate temperature. But basically you create a bed or a home for them where they can breathe, and you use your food scraps, specifically things like coffee grinds, just about any type of fresh produce, fruits, or vegetables. You can use newspaper not the colored kind, preferably black and white, paper towels, the paper towel toilet paper holders, cardboard, all of those are the dryer lint, all of those are things that can be diverted from the landfill into your compost bin, and you'll have your worms turn it. Now, that process is a little faster than the backyard compost. So that's another option for you. Do that, and then you can also take that compost and use it directly, as well as make a compost tea and feed your plants with.
A compost tea, you said?
Yes, uh-huh.
So, say a little bit more about that, please.
A compost tea is essentially taking that compost and putting it in water, quite a bit of water, comparatively, and letting it sit, like a sun tea, letting it sit for about 3 days outside. And then you're going to use the water from that. You're just going to strain it off and use the water from that to water your plants, either your outdoor plants or your indoor plants, including, you know, your regular house plants. They will love it. It will give them an absolute shoot of nutrients that they need.
Excellent, excellent. Very powerful. Good. That's great. one of my neighbors, I noticed, uses everything that she can possibly do. Leaves. Matter of fact, she even cuts some of the old vines from the tomato plants when she's scrapping them for the winter, and puts it all together in the compost, and then spreads that out put in the springtime. So, you're absolutely right. We've got a lot of opportunities. Matter of fact, a friend of mine in Ottawa actually has a little separate garbage just for the organic material, so that she can do compost. So she's in the habit of composting, and have people in the house who are, in the habit of composting. So it's a very useful and smart way to revitalize your containers and your ground.
Yeah, we want the earth to feed us, but we also have to feed the earth back. You know, we have to keep that circle going. And if we send it to the garbage, to the landfill, it doesn't have a way to get back to our soil.
Yeah, one of the other things that I wanted to you mentioned turning over the soil, and that's something that is a very critical piece. That I do, that my, watching my mother do over the years. Every year, and of course, as a young boy, I was the one that was doing the turning over. So, of course. So I got real clear that was like an important piece of the process. And we would turn over the soil and try to go down at least 4 or 5 inches to really bring the soil up. And to also add manure, and it's, even though I don't know that it's still needed, I try to add manure every year, and limestone is the other thing that we put in. But limestone we do every other year, or we can skip a year or even 2 years. But that's also important to mix up the soil. I saw something that was very interesting. I was up in New Hampshire, and of course New Hampshire has an even shorter growing season than New York, and I would imagine even Chicago. And one of the things that they used was fish emulsions. They had an organic garden, and what they would do is put fish emulsions. When I saw that, of course, I thought back to the pilgrims and the Indians showing them how to grow the corn, where they put a fish and then put the corn seed on top of the fish and then bury that to fertilize and to give it growth. So one of the other things that I thought about is, I haven't tried this one yet, but most of us have fish markets in the neighborhood, and all of the byproducts that they're basically throwing away would probably be pretty good for the garden to mix in. So I promised myself I'm going to take a trip down and just get maybe a day's worth or a couple hours worth of their, chopping up of the scales and the so on and so forth, and be able to put that into the soil as well.
One of the things we talked about earlier, hydroponics, but there is a variation of hydroponics called aquaponics, which is exactly what you're describing, in the sense that instead of me putting nutrients in the water, the water that the fish live in is pumped through the system to feed the plants. The plants clean the water and filter it, sending it back to the fish. So you can actually grow fish. So there are many setups in urban farming where people are growing their own fish and food in the same garden, if you will.
Wow. Wow. And that's called
aquaponics.
Aquaponics. Wow. Amazing, amazing. Well, I mean, it absolutely makes sense. It absolutely makes sense when you look at the recycling and the reusing of the resources that we have available to us. Very, very good. Excellent. Wow. Great information here. Folks, I hope you're taking notes. This show is being recorded, so you can come back and take a listen to it later if you didn't catch all the pieces or wanted to go over some of the other things. One of the things that I wanted to ask, I wanted to find out, what are you all doing in order to protect the plants from pests, from since in our organic environment, we're not using pesticides, so there are some of the things that, you know, I've heard, for example, I've actually used marigolds as a pest resistant to plant the marigold in between the vegetables in the garden to minimize the bugs that would eat them and so on and so forth. So what do you guys have around protecting your garden?
I have marigolds on like three sides of my garden, and and on the back side of it as well, to, you know, sort of keep away certain pests. And as I was going through the nursery, the person that helped me out with this was like, yeah, definitely. Well, she asked me if I had deer, and I said no. She was like, because, you know, deer don't like marigolds, and they will eat your berries and stuff. But yeah, I do have marigolds in three parts of my garden. Like, you know, I have, like, they're surrounded by, you know, bricks and stones, and they're sort of there for protection. So I do have those, yes.
Okay, great.
And I have been, for the past few years, I've been using a cayenne pepper spray that seems to be working. And it's a mixture of cayenne pepper, a little vinegar, water, and I spray on the plants that I'm having, that I was having issues with the leaves being eaten. I'd actually spray the leaves, depending on the plant, and then you can also sprinkle cayenne around the base of the plants, like tomato plants and some of your peppers, things like that. And the pests do not like the smell of the cayenne, so it keeps them away.
Very good. Excellent. Excellent. I've heard that as well. Yeah. Great. And anything else that we can do that's consistent with the organic to prevent any pests?
Well, I know that in some cases they actually use pests for pest control. So they basically, in that sense, if you happen to have a particular pest that's a problem, you might go and talk at your university extension office, and they might actually recommend that you introduce a different pest into your garden. In essence, that's the predator that would go out and...
Like ladybugs, for example.
Right.
Ladybugs against aphids. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the one that. The other thing that is good to promote. Well, certainly if you see the egg sac for that are the praying mantis. The praying mantis. You want to have them in your garden. They're you know, you don't want to get rid of them. They're enhancements, because they'll help to keep some of the pests out of your garden. So they're very very aggressive and very protective in terms of weeding out some of the unwanted pests. Very good, very good. Well, we've got about 10 minutes left, and I just want to. I actually want to find out, so some of the things that you guys are actually growing are looking, you know, going to be growing in your garden this year. So I'd like to hear a little bit about that.
Well, I will definitely have my lettuces, mescaline and endive and romaine, and so those will all be there. I'll have my tomatoes, of course. I'm looking forward to my onions are already up. They came back. They managed to winter over, so I'm excited about my green onions. And I'm sure I'll have some kale, and I think we're going to try some garlic and a few other things, some beans this year. So I'm looking forward to all of it, really.
Oh, that's great. How is the kale very hard to grow?
Kale grows very well in the cool weather. So right now, actually, if I had some plants out there, they would be growing real well this time of year. They will grow real well again in the fall when it cools off. So it's an excellent spring and fall crop, as is collard. Collards are also
as collard greens, right.
In cool weather.
Yeah, the collard greens are actually able to sustain most winters. I'm here
mm-hmm.
in New York.
Mm-hmm.
So they're very, very robust, sturdy. Who else? What are you growing this season?
I got like five rows. Like one row, my back row, it's all sunflowers just for my friend said it's gonna look pretty.
It will.
I have a row of sunflowers, and I have cucumbers, and they have some peppers, I have some peas. Then the next row, I have a row of tomatoes, three different types of tomatoes. And then in the far back corner, I have arugula. Then that front row, I have some carrots. I have some basil. Then I have some jalapeno. Then in my far back right corner, I have sweet potatoes. Far right corner, I have my strawberries. And in my far left, in my far front corner, I have some mint. So I got a little bit of everything. I was just like, hey, what's not going to choke off stuff, and what can be fun to share, and you know, what's going to make my garden look good. So I got a little bit of everything.
That's great. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Who else? Anybody else?
I'm going to try my strawberries again. Last year, the squirrels ate more than I did, but, you know, at least someone was fed. So I moved them to containers, and so I can control their location a little bit better. I'll be doing a variety of beans. Definitely want to do squash, cucumbers, eggplants, a variety of onions, and as many herbs as I can find space for. Because I do cook. So having fresh herbs available and is a wonderful thing when you can look for recipes around what herbs you have that are ready to harvest.
Absolutely.
Not to cut you off, now, I have two old, large pecan trees in my backyard where my garden is. And in the fall, when those pecans are ripening, Scooby Squirrel and Alvin and the Chipmunks are like staked in my backyard. Am I gonna have like a problem with those guys? I mean, because it's like, I don't know. Just they're like I got a Jack Russell dog, so when I let him out the back, he just goes into a frenzy trying to catch them all. So while I'm not home, do I need to like protect my garden? Because you said your strawberries, the squirrels got them, and like I got like the squirrel party out back, like literally.
Yeah, they. You know, it really depends. They took, I guess, year before last, most of the things that were sweet. So I had some cantaloupe and watermelon that got eaten, but they didn't bother the peppers. The cherry tomatoes, they didn't bother the regular beefsteak tomatoes.
Beefsteak, yeah.
So it really just depends on, you know, how if you have your dog in the yard on a regular basis, eventually they'll learn. We were fortunate and had cats around, and that had a tendency to really limit our squirrel population because we do have a lot of squirrels as well.
The squirrels in Southwest Atlanta are completely gangster. Like, my dog's not out there.
Yeah.
They're like, yo, like, when, again, they're just out and about right now, but I know, like, during that pecan season, they're all over the place. It's like the squirrel day party outside. I don't know.
Yeah.
They're, like, all over the place. Is there anything I can do to, like, keep them out of my garden? Like, to put up a scarecrow or something? I don't know.
I would try some sprinkling some cayenne pepper.
The cayenne pepper sounds like that might be the thing that you want to do to kind of keep them out, because I know that is pretty effective for them.
Okay.
Keep them at bay.
Okay.
Now, before we wrap up, I just want to say that gardening is really something that gets you in touch with Mother Earth. There's something about getting, for me, getting your hands in the dirt and then watching life occur in your garden. You know, it goes from a seedling or a small plant to a bigger plant, and then you harvest it and you actually get to enjoy the fruits of your labor. So gardening is very, for me, is very refreshing, relaxing, and it's just a way of calming myself and just being one with nature. So I invite you all to really take on a garden. If you're looking at taking a garden on, certainly there's a lot of information. Certainly review the show. This is going to be taped. So review the show, take a look at it, and really look at the possibility of having your own items that are fresh and are ripe on the vine, as opposed to some of the other things. From growing my own garden, I got to say that I'm spoiled that I very rarely buy tomatoes anymore because I'm disappointed. Once you've eaten a tomato out of the garden, there's nothing that can compare to that. Anyway, let's go around. Any last minute words you want to share, or encouragement, or for the potential gardeners out there?
I just want to encourage you to, if you're a novice or if you haven't done it in a while, it doesn't matter. I'm a novice. I freely admit it. I'm enjoying the last few years. Each year I learn, and I get all excited when spring comes around so I get a chance to start all over again and learn from the mistakes from last year. But there's nothing in the world that compares to those first harvests when you can go out there in your yard and pick from something that you grew and put it on the plate or pop it in your mouth. There's nothing that compares to it, absolutely. So I really encourage you to do it and share it with someone that you love.
Very good. Thank you.
I'm taking it from the standpoint that, you know, I always look, you know, my birthday is May the 6th, and I always look to do, so every year, you know, I look to do something new and something different, you know, whether it's home and life and career. I just like, hey, I'm going to do this year. You know, I'm just going to try it out, and if I fail, so what? But I'm going to do it. I'm going to be out there. I'm going to become one with my earth that I own. And I'm just taking it from the standpoint of fun, and, you know, I just tell people, like, you don't have to be a certain age to do it. I don't know if there's any guys out there in their 30s that are doing it, but, you know, everyone I told about this, like, wow, that sounds cool. I can't wait. You know, I'm going to have a 4th of July harvest party. But I'm this is going to be fun for me. I got home from the gym today, and I just went right back to my garden just to check on stuff and, you know, pick up stuff. I don't know. I was just back there. So it's fun. And like you said, it is going to be relaxing for me. And I look forward when I let my dog out in the morning, I grab my hose and I water my garden. So it's something new, it's exciting, but it's also an element of fun.
Yeah.
Mhm. Yeah, and I would agree with that, and I think my journey started because I needed to change my relationship with the food that I ate, and I thought, what a better way to do that than to start from the seed and take it all the way to the table.
Absolutely.
So in changing my relationship with food, it really has changed my life.
Awesome. Very awesome. Well, I just want to thank all our guests tonight. Thank you for all of the great information around gardening, all of the skills, all of the culmination of ideas. Gardening is an adventure, and when we share it with people and share it with other gardeners, we become better gardeners, as well as our community becomes better gardeners. So the opportunity is really to share the information and to keep spreading it. So thank you for contributing to a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful show tonight, and I'm sure our listeners are going to get a lot out of it. And this is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. We're here every Sunday from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard. Call in number 646-716-9827. We love you. We thank you for joining us tonight or listening to the show at a later date. And again, thanks for our wonderful guests for taking their time to talk about their experiences at the garden. Good night. God bless. We love you.
Okay. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for having us. It was great.
Good night.
Good night.